Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast on this uneventful Sunday evening where Paddy and myself both come to you both 100% corpus mentis and not under the influence at all. Well, I can't speak for Paddy, but I certainly am not under the influence of any celebration or maybe some alcohol, I don't know, but small matter today of Premier League match. A very somber event of a 7-2 victory against Aston Villa, Paddy. We did that. What's going on with 2020? It's just, I can't get over it. This is a glitch in the matrix. It's mental. Like, even to say it is just unbelievably insane. 7-2. Seven goals, Paddy.
Seven.
Two goals.
Okay, well, let's share this with everybody else. God. Sit back, listen, and listen to this.
That is the sound of
Paddy getting more drunk tonight because the last time Paddy saw Villa score 7 goals, and correct me if I'm wrong, we spoke about it yesterday, it was against Wimbledon in 1995. So let's enjoy this moment.
It was a funny one, Paddy, because Matt Maher from the Star had put up and said, when was the last time Villa scored 6 in a game when we were up 6-2? And I put in, when was the last time Villa scored 6? And I said, Wimbledon 7-1 February 95. And he messaged me back and he goes, I'll hold on to that just in case they score 7. And literally as he messaged me, Jack scored the 7th. And I goes, you're welcome. Because we were only talking about it. We were only actually talking about it in the last podcast. It was amazing. And we've spoken about it a couple of times, Paddy. And geez, you know, that was 1995. That's what? That's 25 years ago.
25 years ago.
Craziness. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
The same year that Watson's story, Morning Glory, was released. We found out this week. So, you know.
That's crazy.
It's a week of... Jesus, I just can't put words on what's happened tonight because, you know, after all the hurt we've had over the last, let's say, 7 years, when things started to look like they were going south, then we scored 7 goals against Liverpool in a Premier League game. Like, I know we only beat them by 5. We scored 5 against them last December against the kids. And everyone went, oh yeah, it's only against the kids. What's the excuse now? We scored 7 against their full first team, albeit without Mane and Thiago. But
yeah,
they had willing replacements in there, and they could have had I don't actually fucking care at this stage.
I'm the same.
The only downside is their goalkeeper. The goalkeeper gave away the first goal.
And he did. I think he set the tone because a couple of times he tried to roll ball out. And before we get into the actual game, because, you know, I haven't had time to process the game. I only see the game in spots. I was actually watching two games at the same time. Be honest with you, I focused the first maybe... 90 minutes was focus on. I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan. Cleveland Browns had a massive win against Dallas as well today. Guys, I put a fiver bet on an absolute long shot, 19.75 to 1 on the Cleveland Browns and Villa to win. I'm just disappointed I didn't put on the Cleveland Browns to cover the spread and Villa to win by plus two goals. If I did that, I think I would have probably the head of the IMF ringing me going, how do you make money? Like, how do we clear the debts after the coronavirus? Because I think that I would be some sort of financial guru if that had happened. But... it was a mental thing. So I had split screen thing going on. I had a Villa on my laptop and an unbelievable stream from Malaysia. And Gabby was on it. He was absolutely superb. And I had Cleveland Browns on the TV. And the reason for that was because I couldn't get Game Pass on my laptop. Anyway, you guys don't need to know this. All you need to know was that I was watching Villa and I was watching Cleveland Browns. I had two sets of headphones in at the same time. I had one earbud in one ear with the Villa commentary. I had one earbud in the other ear with the Browns commentary. And it was just a mental night. Like, you can't imagine how much I was up off my seat. But this is just like it's like nothing before, and I can't even remember what I started talking about, Paddy, before I went on with this. But I do remember Adrian. We were talking about Adrian. And we were saying that he rolled a couple of balls out to players, and he should never have done it. And we were up in their faces. And Paddy, look, I'm going to take a small bit of a victory lap here. But it's going to be seldom that I get to do it, but. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about when I was talking about before this, about pressing. But first of all, I said Ross Barkley would start. I wasn't even sure what he would start. About pressing up on Fabinho, pressing up on their defensive midfielder, making sure that their centre halves had to come forward so that he couldn't lull back in there and become that third centre half, which he does do because, you know, that's what he does. And he couldn't do that because we pressed so high up the field. Their fullbacks bombed on, and Matty Cash had his way with Andy Robertson. Yes, Andy Robertson caused us trouble at the other end in an attacking sense, but in a defending sense, Matty Cash could do what he wanted down that wing. And Trent Alexander-Arnold was getting caught because Jack Grealish was holding his position in the left wing. So when Trent Alexander-Arnold went forward, and even when he was back there, he isn't a good enough defender to keep a guy like Jack Grealish out. So we got joy. We got joy with Ollie Watkins. I mentioned that Ollie Watkins could peel off then. If we did sit on Fabinho in the central midfield position, Ollie Watkins could peel off into the channels. He could be the Henri, as he mentioned, that he always wanted to be. And he was tonight. He was in those channels. Ross Barkley was there in the middle. Ross Barkley looked like he had always played in this team tonight. He was fantastic. He could have had a hat-trick himself, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Is it fair to say that we... did a Liverpool on Liverpool? We out Liverpooled.
I don't know that we out Liverpool. But I think what we did is I think we're actually a very similar team, and this is amazing as well, Paddy. Because if you go back 6 or 7 episodes again, I was talking about how our front line didn't need to have an out and out striker, that we wanted to be fluid, and there was times when Watkins was on the wing, Trezeguet had moved over to the left hand side, and Jack was in the centre, and there was if you look at our two centre halves. Like, our two centre halves are almost exactly like Van Dijk and Gomez, you know? and what's the best way to cover Matt Target? Make sure that he's getting the ball past our halfway line. I'm being very much egregious, and I'm being very much kind of overreactive because this is one game, but this is a game for a lifetime. Like, you know, we will never beat Liverpool 7-2 again, you know? Well, I won't say never, but it's unlikely.
To be honest, my phone went from... about 90% when the first goal went in to picking it up and being 50%. It's just bonkers the amount of people who would message you and log into Facebook and see guys like Martin Moss, who's a lifelong Villa fan. I won't even hazard a guess at his age. Talk about the 5-1, was it, in 1977? You know, these guys have been through the ringer. They've seen us win European Cups, and you can see a little tear in their eye, and they're just loving this, absolutely loving this, and probably a whole lot more than we are. But this, we could talk about the goals, the tactics, we could talk about everything all night, but this is a humongous occasion for a Villa fan. I'm absolutely over the moon to share that with, first off, the guys from McGettigan's who were there tonight.
Yeah.
It was full of Liverpool fans who emptied out very quickly, which was fantastic. The guys, I spotted Paddy Hessian, who would be...
I was just about to ask, was Paddy there? Yeah.
little bit of a tear in his eye. You know, this is one of those games that we'll talk about for years and years and years. And I'd like to mention guys like John Nibb and Mark Goodwin, who you'd see sitting outside Villa Park watching the game on his iPad. These guys have been at every game for 30 or 40 years. And to miss that tonight is the fucking hardest thing. And I don't mean to swear, but it's so hard to look at this momentous game without fans behind them. Because, you know, as Jock Steen said, football without fans is nothing. I hope no matter where you're listening to this all around the world, you have had an amazing day. And I would give everything I have to be in America where it's, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, where you can go on the absolute razz for the whole day. Yeah.
So Matt Jarobi, you lucky man.
Matt Jarobi, Simon Lee,
Rick is 8 hours Rick behind. Elon, so, yeah, it's only half two for Rick. If Rick makes it to bed tonight, he'll be doing well. Get the beers in. but like, Paddy, that's what you said there is actually that's something. No, our production sheet, if that's what you want to call it, our episode sheet tonight. Literally, all I've got written down on it is, what about the fans? Number one and number two. Then I'm literally just after scribbling this down afterwards. And actually, do you know what? I won't even tell you what it is. I'll get into it, and you'll know what it was afterwards. But we spoke about this, that you mentioned that us here in Ireland specifically, we have a lot of Liverpool fans here, and it's almost like this kind of pilgrimage type of game to go to watch Liverpool play against our team. And because, you know, we can go home and say, oh, you know what, we beat you 2-1 or we beat you 1-0 or whatever. And it's very unlikely that it happens, to be honest with you. And that's gone a spade of shovel here. But on a day like today, we actually spoke about this in the last one, that it's something that you kind of went, you know, I woke up yesterday morning and I went, I would love to go to Villa Park and meet these mates that I've met. And I couldn't, and there was just something. I think there was just something yesterday that we could feel. There was a tingle. There was a break in the matrix. There was a glitch in the matrix yesterday. And I don't know what it was, because we didn't speak about it beforehand. We just ended up, there's a lot of things we didn't speak about in the production meeting before yesterday's podcast. And it all kind of came true. And it's mad, isn't it, that it just happened that way. But my question is, yes, you mentioned about the fans. It would be massive for the fans to be there. But I think in this roundabout mad type of way, that the fact that there are no fans there means that more people are going to have watched that on TV tonight than would have watched it if you could have 42,000 fans in the stadium. Ipso facto, for me, is that this is going to get a lot of young fans, is what we need, interested in Villa. And fans are going to be looking at Villa and going to be looking at people like Jack Grealish, people like Ollie Watkins, people like Matty Cash, people like John McGinn. Absolutely. And before you know it, you might see a couple more Jack Grealish haircuts out there. You might see a couple more... you might see a couple of more people shoving their arse into each other in the school playground trying to be John McGinn. Or you might see, this is like it's results like that, and it's results like that, in the way that we had the results like that today, that are they can be the kind of ones that undecided young people, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that aren't really maybe into soccer, go, Jesus, you know what, I'm going to support Aston Villa now. Because look, I supported Aston Villa because I saw Paul McGrath play. He was centre half playing against Crystal Palace. I don't even know if we won that day. I just saw a man kicking a soccer ball and decided to follow this team, and now I'm doing a podcast with his name on it. So who knows what encapsulates a young person? We know in Birmingham that there is a massive population, and there's only 42,500 seats or whatever it is in Villa Park, or 45,000 seats. I can't remember what the full capacity is of it, but there has been times when it hasn't sold out. And games like tonight will want people coming back to the club and making the club theirs again. So in a roundabout way, the fact that there was no fans there, absence make the heart grow stronger. And this could be, you know, I could imagine there's going to be a queue from from the Villa Village to Great Bar tomorrow to try and get Ollie Watkins in the back of a jersey. Like,
fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. Oh. Funny story. Obviously, we meet in McGettigan's.
Yes.
The manager in there is a Man U fan. The head chef in there is an Arsenal fan. They both finished work. I think the Man U fan was off, and he was driving along and pulled up the traffic lights and looked at the app and went, I've got to go into the lads. The lads are in there watching the Villa. It's 5-2 or whatever it was when he arrived in. And the Arsenal fan, so we had Dave Maloney and Jeff O'Brien, who I've known for years since I moved to Limerick, came in, and the two of them were genuinely delighted to see. Like there's only a handful of us. It's 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening on a school night in a pub in Limerick, at this rural town in Ireland. The buzz, I can tell you, with a lot of Liverpool fans got up and left. One mouthpiece was bloody
I'd love to see Paddy Heshin inside there.
He was 1,000%. McGinn gave away a penalty. Remember, he shielded the ball when it was 1-0 and he shielded the ball out. Oh,
probably it might have been a penalty. It might have been a penalty if United were playing. But no, I Paddy was gassed, like, because Arsenal and Liverpool played. Like, people may not know this, but I've only ever met Paddy once, and that was last Monday. We didn't know each other from Adam before this podcast. I never knew Paddy. Paddy, I messaged him. I said, hey, you're part of the Munster Supporters Club. I'm originally from Limerick, living above in Galway, looking to try and get a supporters club set up here in Connacht myself. And I messaged Paddy, and we got talking. And before I said, hey, come on the podcast, because I feel like a dope talking to myself. And Paddy came on, and we got talking. And first time I met him, that was like in March, it probably was, Paddy. It was probably late February because...
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was before Christmas. It was
around Christmas time.
Yeah, it was around Christmas time, and I remember I was getting it myself and my other half were inside, and we were looking at a kitchen in Woody's. We were half committed to buying, and we were half committed. We didn't even know whether we were going to get it or not. We didn't get the kitchen anyway from Neil and Hunt. But I was sitting down there, and there was a fella designing the kitchen. My phone was going nuts in my pocket, and it was Paddy messaging me going, "Why aren't you doing the podcast anymore?" Because I'd taken 3 weeks off, and then. Anyway, long story short, we're here and we're after beating Liverpool by 7-2. But I met Paddy for the first time in 3D, as I like to call it, last Monday for the Fulham game down in McGettigan's. And there was like 5 or 6 of us there. But Arsenal and Liverpool were playing as well at the same time. Afterwards. Yeah. And there afterwards. Literally must have been 40 young fellas coming in from UL or from... Like, I'd say majority of them were under 25, and that's cool too. And that's what I want to see for Villa. So they were all coming in to follow Liverpool, to watch Liverpool. Now, we are considerably larger men than them. So we took our space in front of the big screen, and it was going to take a multiple amount of cranes to shift us if they were going to shift us. And so they didn't. So they watched it in the back on a smaller screen. But look, age before beauty, that's what they say. The boys went in and watched it, but there must have been about 40 of them there. And this is where it comes all full circle back to what I was saying there a minute ago, Paddy, is that who knows, this result like this could, like today could spawn that group before, because like 10 years ago Liverpool supporters were all in their 30s. They were all in their 30s. Yeah. They were all harking back to Kenny Dalglish's, and we've done nothing as a club. Like today is something for me and you, Paddy. Today isn't something for the club. Today is something for me and you, and it's for all the rest of the fans. But you know, in time to come, hopefully it's a building block for something that people can turn around and go, geez, I started supporting Villa after that 7-2 against Liverpool. And that could be there. Like, for the love of Jack Grealish, might be out in 50 years' time, you know?
It could be.
The love of Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my son, as you know, he's 15.
Yeah.
He told me at breakfast today there was one other guy in his year that supports Aston Villa.
So and he's going to go out and get 700 points in the Leaving Cert because he's a smart man.
Bear in mind that there's probably 90 or 100 people in his year. So look at the averages there. My daughter, Robin, completely encapsulated, but she inadvertently went to Wembley because somebody didn't turn up this year. So she got to go. And she is completely enthralled with Aston Villa. And she literally danced around the house and we came in this evening after being in with the Munster Lions. And that's the future.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to go in tomorrow and go, Ollie Watkins, Jack Grealish, John McGinn,
yeah,
Dean Smith, Clarence Blue Army, as she sings all the time because she couldn't get over the fact that we sang that for 15 minutes non-stop during the Carabao Cup final, even though we were losing. So these are the people who will drive it on from long after me and you are gone.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, this is a momentous day.
Yeah. You
know, I think people might forget about it in the next day or two, but this is a huge thing. Like I put up on Facebook there, I don't know whether I'm looking up or looking down. I don't know whether I'm looking at the fact that we've got 25 points to safety, 26, 27.
But we've 9 or, points and yes, 27, yeah.
You know, what do we stay up with last year? 35, 36? Well,
we win 9 more games out of 35. Yeah. We stay up.
But there's also the fact that we've 100% record. So.
Yeah, the other side of it is we won our game in hand and got top of the league.
So are we looking down? Is it the kazoo factor that the two teams sponsored by Kazoo are top of the league?
Kazoo are going to be broke.
Shout out to Kazoo if they want to sponsor the podcast. But
100%, Paddy, they're going to be broke because I think they've agreed to for every goal that Villa score at home, they're going to give €1,000 to £1,000 to Everton or to Everton. Neil, I'll start that again. For every goal that Villa score at home, Kazoo, I think, are giving €1,000 to the Aston Villa Foundation. So I wonder are they doing that for Everton as well? Because you know, that's great. Yeah, €7,000 went to the Aston Villa Foundation. I think it's Aston Villa Foundation. It's some charity anyway. I would imagine I'd be blown away if it wasn't Aston Villa Foundation. So like I know every player wants to score every goal that comes their way. But if Ross Barkley had his scoring boots on, he could have bankrupted Kazoo tonight.
Is that only home goals?
I think it's home goals, yeah. I think it's home goals.
So they've lost €11,000 this weekend because Everton scored 4 yesterday.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know if they're doing it for Everton, but I read online that they're doing it for Villa, yeah, because I just happened to mention, I see it was...
Well, if they're listening, they should do it. They should do it. Yeah, well, it's 11,000 this week.
And you know what? My old car, my car owes me nothing. I've mixed cement in the boot of it. Genuinely, my car is like myself. It's got scratches and bumps and hollows and it needs a good MOT, but I'm loath to part with it. But put it this way, if I keep on winning, I'll do Kazoo and I'll solid and I'll look up their website and see if they deliver to Ireland because they offer a good old service. But Paddy, I'm looking at a thing here and I'm sorry to keep on moving from point to point and not stay on.
That's fine. I think people will understand this week.
I think they will, yeah. Sure. Ollie Watkins, I'm out of the corner of my eye. I'm watching him give an interview here on Villa TV, and he's just said because I've got subtitles on. It said, "I've scored a hat trick before, but it was against Newport away in a boggy pitch." That's mental. Paddy, there's a club to play in the Limerick District League called Newport as well, and
yeah,
it might as well be that Newport as well, you know. Then that's like that brings it all home. This guy is living a dream, and as Dean Smith said in his post match interview, he said we spent a lot of money on him, but tonight he's doubled it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tonight he's doubled it. So, like
on that note, I'm just gonna. Can you hear this? We'll open one more.
I've had a bottle of whiskey tonight, so I
can't. Ollie Watkins on a school night. God, did that guy just look so at home tonight? I wondered, were we actually going to talk about the match one stage here?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, Paddy, I'm disgusted. I didn't press record in the match. I don't know why I didn't. Mentalness, absolute.
It's all right. You'll be watching it for years to come. I'm sure.
Exactly. So I've
on the Villa social media.
What I've done is I actually went through the Sky TV guide for the next 7 days, and I couldn't find it. But then I went, should I won't have it up yet? They'll put it up now in place of like EFL Gold or something like that, and so later on during the week. So I'll keep an eye out for it and record it again. But I've got Match of the Day recording as we speak. But I don't know. I can't even remember what I was going to say. But we were talking about the match, and I remember fits and starts of it because I was enthralled in the match. Like literally, after the first goal, I went, I don't want to invest myself emotionally in this because we did this last year, and see what happened after Kodja didn't bend his head and went up with the foot, and Mane bent his head, and then when Salah scored the goal. I'm even trying to think. The first goal, obviously, was Adrian's mishap. Second goal was... Jesus, I can't even remember who the second goal was. Ah, there was too many of them.
Second goal was Watkins again, but...
Yeah. The second goal was Watkins' blinder. Yeah, absolutely stuck it in the top corner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tuck in from the left-hand side. That's exactly... Yeah, And that's exactly the position I expected him to see coming in from either the left or the right there. Ball over the top in on the left hand, in the channel, in the Henri channel, if you want. Cut inside where the centre half is coming back at him. Cut inside centre half, caught in his back of his heels and bang it in the top corner. That was a pipe dream yesterday morning when I was talking about it. That was literally me. That was the idyllic situation. And for it to happen 7 times, Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know.
Third goal this was
what was the third goal? Was the third goal McGinn's deflected from the corner? Yes. Because we're Aston Deflection FC as well, by the way.
Well, I just like to tell the listeners about Mystic Meg, who I've become tonight, because I was telling the lads that I listened to Jeepers. It might have been the Claret and Blue podcast yesterday. And Claret and Blue? Yeah, I think it was the Claret and Blue podcast. Sorry, I've just had too much to drink now, but we'll have the chance.
We're
anyway.
All the same.
Claret and Blue podcast yesterday, Chelsea fan was on, and he said, Ross Barkley needs 5 shots on target to score a goal.
Yeah.
And do you know how many shots on target it took tonight?
Five.
So at half time, when it was 3-0,
Yeah, 3-0, wasn't it? 3-0 at halftime, so, and Saturday got the goal just after.
Yeah, so it could have easily been 6. He had a number of chances in around the box, and then the least likely chance took a little bit of a deflection, obviously, and it went in. And when we were 5-2 up or whatever, the guys had come in, the Arsenal fan, the Man United fan, and they were cheering us on. And I said to Stephen, I said, the only thing this is missing now is a Jack goal. And I literally turned my head in Jack football. So it's not Mystic Meg anymore. It's Mystic Paddy. And I hope that lasts for the rest of the season. I'd like to do that when we need to score in future. I must say I went to the toilet and missed Salah's first goal. I didn't miss the second one. And I come up and go, don't fucking go to the toilet again. It's going to go.
I'm going to call this betting responsibly. I put a fiver bet on Villa and Cleveland Browns at 19 to 19 point whatever. I said it's standard bucket. I think it's 19.74 to 1 or whatever. Put a fiver on anyway. Win the bones of 100 quid. Bit of crack, but when Salah scored the first goal, I looked at the odds and I put a fiver on a Liverpool draw and Liverpool win to win 32 back. And I put that on, and next thing, Salah scored the goal and I cashed out for £7. So I made money on Salah scoring the goal. After he scored the goal, I cashed out and I went, nah, he's not going to win it. He's not going to do it. So I made £2 off Betfair on Salah scoring the goal. So that's responsible betting, everybody. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You doubt yourself, and the second something comes true, then you turn around and you go, ah, no, I was right the first time. Cashed out. So I never actually had bet on Liverpool while they had a goal scored, and I still took the bookies to the cleaners, if you will.
enjoy it. I hope you buy yourself something nice out of it.
Yeah, for the €2. And I'm sure, I might go down and buy myself two apples or something.
Tonight going, what a hat-trick. What a hat-trick.
Perfect hat-trick. He's our Rivaldo, Paddy. He's our Rivaldo. Header, left foot, right foot. Perfect hat-trick.
Was it a perfect hat-trick tonight?
That's what the internet said. You know? Internet said it, and I'm not going to disagree with the internet. So his first goal was with his left foot.
Left.
His second goal was definitely his right foot, and he scored a header?
Yeah. Wow.
Rivaldo, everybody, 33 million. Read it and weep. Well,
I've only ever seen one perfect hat-trick in person, and that was Niall Quinn against Crystal Palace from Manchester City in 1991. That's the only time I've ever seen one in person.
Paddy.
Sorry, I'm just looking at it now. Yeah, it was a perfect hat-trick. It was left foot, right foot, and a header.
Brilliant. I don't think I would have ever guessed Niall Quinn was your only perfect hat-trick that you've ever seen.
That's the only time I've ever seen someone score a perfect hat-trick in real life, obviously. And I would have been there tonight, so I would have seen him score. Yeah, I went to Ireland against England in Wembley in 1991. I was 14, and on the Saturday we went to Crystal Palace against Manchester City, and Niall Quinn scored the perfect hat-trick. My dad's a Man City fan. That's the...
Yeah. I was thinking that was what the connection was there. But
the following day, we went to see Liverpool against... why am I even talking about this? Anyway, Liverpool against West Ham at Upton Park.
Yeah.
And it was the first time we'd seen...
Steve Staunton play.
Robbie Fowler in accent. Anyway, we're all good. let's forget about my reminiscing.
How many goals have we gone through? I'm trying to think. So, and this isn't me being a bollocks, by the way, for everybody from the States, the word bollocks is a rude word, just because I know it's not used that much over there. I'm trying to think. So we've gotten, the first goal was obviously the Adrian mishap. The second goal was Watkins blinder from the edge of the area or cutting in with his right foot. Third goal was McGinn's deflected banger from outside, from the corner. Yeah. Who took that corner? Was it Barkley? Barkley was taking all the corners tonight, wasn't he?
If I'm not mistaken.
By the way, he's a hulk of a man. He's way bigger and stronger than I ever put him down for. I don't know, is it the Claret and Blue? Is it the cut of the Kappa jersey? The tight-fitting Kappa jersey? But Jesus Christ, he's got a bit of build to him, doesn't he? And I said that he's going to be our tallest midfielder. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to have a full 5-minute ranty segment on him in a moment because I thought he was flawless tonight. Well, not flawless, but I thought he was great.
Can I go and get another beer while you talk about?
You can go on. So yeah, go for a beer, and I'll absolutely.
I have enough here.
So number three was McGinn. Number four was
number three was
Watkins again.
Number four was Watkins hat trick.
Watkins hat trick
by halftime.
Yeah, Watkins header.
Absolute class.
What happened for that? Actually, I'm sketchy on how he got that header.
How he got the header.
I'm sketchy on how the headed goal came. Was it Jack? Was it from? I can remember him scoring the header, but I can't remember what the build up of it was.
I'm actually lost myself.
We'll find it. We'll come across it at some stage. So we had Watkins header. Then we had number five was Barkley, and that was the deflected shot Took a small deflection and went right in the postage stamp up at the top. Adrian didn't have a hope, and he did. He slid into the Holt end, as you said. You were hoping you would see, you'd be in the Holt end to see it, and he did. He slid into the Holt end. And number seven was Jack's. What was Jack's deflected shot? Had
the premonition I remembered about the. It was a free kick. Barkley took the ball over the top, and was met at the back post by, can't remember.
Oh yes, it was. Yeah.
Whipped back across, and there was an element that they reckoned it was offside. It wasn't offside.
Yes, yeah. So, it was a Trezeguet. Trezeguet put it back across the box, and Watkins was there. Of course, as I said, Watkins was born at the back post. Everybody, there's two phrases I have.
Beckham. Let's give a special shout out to Trezeguet because.
Yeah.
Right, we've cursed enough in this one. He worked his bollocks off.
Yeah, you know? He did.
So let's give it to him. In fairness,
yeah, he fantastic. Tonight.
He worked hard when he was there.
Whether it was with Trent Alexander-Arnold or whether it was helping Matty Cash with Andy Robertson. And I think he was allowed to give Robertson a small bit of free rein because. It's weird. I still think that Dean Smith is comfortable with us defending crosses, and we'll see as the year goes on. But this time it was from the right as opposed to the left is where we're normally comfortable. But you know, there's another study to be done on that. So Jack's sixth goal was the deflected one, wasn't it? Where he took a shot. He was obviously going for the opposite corner. Hit off someone. Went into the left hand corner as the camera as if you're facing behind Jack. And then the last one then was the Panaka type one. He just dinked it over the foot.
The one thing I liked about the fifth goal or seventh goal.
Jack got six and seven. I think
talking about seven goals is nuts.
Yeah, how many games was that? Would it normally take us to score seven goals?
Yeah. The goal would probably have been. So Watkins went in 1-1 slightly before then and had a similar option, and it was saved.
Yeah.
And then Jack took. Well, I was going to say the better option, but the keeper got a hand to it, in fairness to him. But Jesus, they're looking at seven goals against the champions.
Yeah.
Not even the champions of England, the world champions as they are. Yeah. I know they didn't win the European Cup, but they're world champions. So.
But they're amazing. The best or the second best team in the world. Like, you know, this is a glitch in the matrix. Like, there's no other way of saying it. And that's why we're so happy about this. That's why we wanted to come on when we're flooded with endorphins tonight, flooded with oxytocin, whatever all those does, endorphins does, those kind and of proteins that go to the brain. Alcohol. Yeah, well, alcohol is definitely something to do with it. Yeah. But that's why I wanted to come on because, like, seven goals don't happen that often, you know. And I know we watched, I can't even remember who was playing Spurs and United beforehand. And that was like a bit of a drubbing as well. But, you know, that was a Spurs team against a United team that didn't show up today. And this is a Villa team who, look, let's call it a spade a shovel. We aren't in the same ballpark as Spurs in anybody's eyes. We weren't before. Like, when everyone woke up today, we wouldn't be expecting to beat Spurs. Never mind beat the champions of... Well, the champions of England and the champions of,
we might
of
be
the
now.
World and stuff, but yeah, look, this is the
whole world is looking at us now and going, where the hell did these guys come from? And it's amazing the difference that a few players can make. We looked at us beat a 10-man Sheffield United. We looked at beating a pretty poor Fulham team, and now we're looking at us beating the world champions, the Premier League champions. And here we are. And it's great. It's absolutely for anybody who's just coming into this world of being a Villa fan. This is, you know, this will be talked about for many years. Unfortunately, there won't be any backstories being where you ended up after the match and how drunk you got and where you lost your wallet or where you lost your keys.
I think there could be
scored seven goals against the champions of England and end of story.
There could be a couple of ollies born in 9 months' time, I'd say, Paddy. So there could be a couple of stories after this, a couple of ollies, Jacks, Mohammeds, Rosses, no Johns.
I've been looking at photos all throughout the day. My good buddy, Sean Carroll, who was in the Smithout campaign for so long. I'm just looking forward to having a chat with him now. I'm going, how did you enjoy last night, Sean?
I'm sure he'll love it. He'll love it.
Sure he will.
So I suppose, Paddy, do we... Look, I'm going to try and put on a pair of hobnail boots here and I'll kick myself in the shin for a moment. I'm going to say something along the lines of, so where do we go from here? Like, realistically, where doesn't the Aston Villa fan go from here? We are heading into a two-week break on the top of every rainbow that was ever, that ever shone across, you know, across this world. Like, we're right on the top of, like, we're like, I don't know what it is. We're sliding down every rainbow. And it's fantastic. And we've got, if I'm not mistaken, we've got Spurs next, or is it Leicester?
Leicester.
Or Leicester next. Leicester and then Spurs. Leicester and Leeds, and then Spurs.
Yeah.
So
could be Spurs. Don't know.
We've got a tricky next couple of days. Are we in the camp of? And I've actually got a view on this, but I'm going to ask the question as if I don't have a view on it. And I'm going to say that: are we in the camp of the international break is coming at the wrong time, Paddy? In the great words of Bill Hurley, R.I.P. Or are we in the situation of that this victory can rise all boats, even over a 2 week lapse of games? So where do you come down on that, Paddy?
I think if you look at last year when we were on the crest of a wave, looking into an international break, the crest of a wave was staying up. This crest of a wave is completely different. So let them have their break. They fucking deserve it. We don't have... what have we got? 6 or 7 players going out on international duty. More power to them. I believe Emiliano Martinez was asked, what's the first thing you're going to do? And he says, ask Messi for his autograph. This is fantastic. This is unbelievable. We're looking at an international break, looking down on 19 out of 20 or 18 out of 20 people.
Yeah.
20 clubs, is that right? We're second, aren't we?
Yeah.
So to me, it's come at the right time. Let's regroup. We've 1 day left on the international transfer window. Would that be correct?
Yep, that's tomorrow.
And then
I can't remember.
And then we can recruit from the lower leagues if needs be. Obviously, we're not privy to what's going to happen in the next couple of days. If we recruit more, happy days. I presume they released Jota to see if we could bring someone in.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Just us of
still Rashica, Benarama, whatever it is. You know what? Whoever it is going to find it fucking difficult to get into that team.
Yeah,
you know?
I was just about to say it, yeah.
You know, this is the stuff of dreams. So let's enjoy tonight for what it is. Let's enjoy the next 2 weeks because we're obviously still in the Champions League places with a game in hand on most teams. So happy days. We could be looking at how, and in fairness to Jurgen Klopp, I thought he was absolutely excellent tonight.
What a man.
In everything he said about Aston Villa. And gentlemen, let's go back to the time that they hammered us just before we went down. And he said, tonight is not the time to be taking the piss in inadvertent ways, that a great club like Aston Villa was about to be relegated from the Premier League. And I have total respect for him. Absolutely total respect for him. He said, this is irrelevant because he knew that there was thousands and thousands of people worldwide that were hurting and he never rubbed it in. So much respect for him tonight. He came out and he respected the team that he played against. We were fantastic. Mm. We were absolutely amazing. this is, you know, without a doubt, the greatest performance since this podcast began, for sure.
And because of this podcast, Paddy. let's not undersell how pivotal we are to the upturn of Aston Villa Football Club either. Like,
so let's inform the listeners that you had a little dig at me for calling this at a nil all draw yesterday.
Yeah, you were nearly right, Paddy. You were nearly
but you were nearly right too, saying it was a 2-1 1-1 Was it?
I said it'd be 1-1 as well. Yeah. Paddy, you made two great points there. You actually made two great points. And because sorry for cutting across you. The reason is I'm just going to forget anything in case I do. Jurgen Klopp, stand up legend. Absolutely. What a man. Like, some of the stuff he says is so inspirational. Like, in my day job, my boss has actually quoted some stuff back to me that Jurgen Klopp has said. And it's everyday stuff. It's just literally all he needs to say is just be sound to other people. And don't be a bit of a bollocks. And just be nice to people. And treat people the way they want to be treated. And if someone does something good, tell them they did something good. If someone does something bad, tell them they did something bad. But what you don't do is you don't play games, you don't play politics, and everything will be fine. And that's Jurgen Klopp. And the other thing that you said was, you mentioned that we still have time to sign from the lower leagues, Paddy. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not because I'm looking at a tweet here, so I was going to, I'm not even passing this off as my own knowledge, but Gabriel Sutton at Football Lab, if you guys aren't following him about lower league stuff on Twitter, you just should be. He's a young guy. He's amazing. Like, this guy is knowledgeable beyond his years. He's fantastic. But he basically said, famous Aston Villa win inspired by Ollie Watkins, who was nurtured by Exeter.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish, who learned his trade, went out on loan to Notts County. Ezri Konsa, who was developed in League One by Charlton. Matty Cash, who went unknown to Dagenham and Redbridge. And Dean Smith, who cut his cloth at Walsall. And we must save lower league clubs. And we absolutely must. And Thomas Lane comes in afterwards and goes, don't forget Tyrone Mings at Chippenham Town. And I know that we've got Keenan Davis as well, who was with lower league FC. I can't remember what team it was. And, you know, but like, look, that's that. You go down through it. Ollie Watkins, Ezri Konsa, Matty Cash, Dean Smith, Jack Grealish, Tyrone Mings. Who are our big names? There they are. You even talk about John McGinn at Hibs. You talk about there are players. Our players are hard-nosed people who have learned their trade. They've learned their apprenticeship. It's like if you're a Bricky, if you're a Sparks, if you're a Chippy, you know, whatever you are, you've learned your trade. You've come up the hard way. These guys have come up the hard way. Dean Smith's come up the hard way. You know, there's a lot to be said for doing that. And I mentioned as well before the podcast about Klopp, and to bring it back full circle to Klopp, the togetherness. I went on a rant about Liverpool's togetherness. You know, where do you find people with more togetherness other than on a building site? And I don't mean to go back to tradesmen and stuff like 100%. That, but apprenticeships. And you've got apprentices here. And look, you just see it tonight. Like, oh, just fantastic. I can't get over it. It's amazing. A bit emotional, that's what, like, to be honest with
that's
you.
What makes people, you know, your history makes people
hard. You
look at guys. I know there's the famous picture of Mane, with his
broken phone,
with his cracked screen of his phone and all that kind of thing. You know, these are guys that appreciate where they came from. I've no doubt that our team appreciates where they came from, and I hope to God that they're out tonight together having fun, having a drink, and enjoying this situation, because there is Villa fans all over the world, and like, we're in a country now that's in the cusp of going into another lockdown tomorrow.
Unfortunately,
you know, we will remember this day, you know, like those guys in 1977 remembering beating Liverpool 5-1. We will remember this day that we recorded this podcast, and I'm sure we will, Neil, because we've recorded some pretty dismal podcasts where you know, it was Leicester hard to be positive about. So let's enjoy this moment. Let's, you know, appreciate that there's people all around the world, all around the West Midlands, who would give their right arm to have been in Villa Park tonight to experience that kind of thing. And, you know, on behalf of every Villa fan in the world, this is for us.
Absolutely.
We have experienced the worst 9 months that we can remember, you know. So let's enjoy it. Let's tell that Liverpool fan that's sitting beside you across the desk in the morning that you scored 7 goals against the Premier League champions and the league champions, or the world champions, I should say. And, you know, there's not much else to say. This is fantastic. This is, in my time, the greatest win we've ever had. I struggled to appreciate the win until maybe there was 5 or 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
And that's because of the worry that I've had over what Villa have done for the last 10
PTSD,
years.
PTSD, Paddy, is what it's called. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. That's yeah. That's the diagnosis, yeah.
Yeah. So go enjoy it.
Yeah.
I hope those American lads that we mentioned, the two Simons, Rick, and my good friend Mike Reed in Illinois, I really, really hope you're getting very drunk tonight. And to my good friend Simon Leach, it's your round, my lord.
It's your round, exactly. Guys, we're going to put it there because myself and Paddy were talking until the sun came up and the cows came home and the chickens came home.
And we're too drunk.
And whatever. Yeah. We're getting there anyway. I'm nearly fit to break open the hand sanitizer at this stage. But I'm going to leave you guys with a tweet 54 minutes ago from Captain Jack Grealish, and he just said, "Wow, 2 exclamation marks. Special night at Aston Villa. Wish the fans were here for that one. Congrats to my brother Ollie Watkins on that hat-trick. Hashtag AVFC." And I think that's a good place to end the podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, you can follow Paddy.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah, you can. Sorry, yeah.
Our sponsor needs to give us...
Oh, sorry. Yes, we've remembered the match. Jesus, I nearly did it again. He's going to murder me. Paddy, you can pick our man a match for tonight. And I never went to my 5-minute diatribe about Ross Barkley. But we can we'll fill another 10 podcasts in that one.
I realised that I would love to give the Man of the Match award to everybody.
Yeah.
But let's recognise this amazing striker we have. I am totally in fucking love with him now. I hope he scores many more hat-tricks.
He's a good looking chap.
And complete bromance, Ollie Watkins, Man of the Match.
Laker Sports, Man of the Match is Ollie Watkins. And for everybody out there, Laker Sports are a sports apparel company based in Limerick in Ireland. They will ship anywhere all over Ireland. I'm sure they'll ship to the UK as well if you ask them nicely. I actually should really have confirmed that beforehand. But they will do
anything. Of course they will.
Look, I'll sponsor it myself. Be fine. They do hoodies, bags, jerseys, basically literally anything your football club, anything your school, anything your college class wants, anything like that, they will do it. They're an apparel company and they're based out of Limerick in Ireland. And just in case you guys over in the UK are interested, you can find them at LAOCHRA. That's Lacra. And if you just type that in, Laker Sports, you will find their website online. And John will absolutely help you guys out there. You know,
and as drunk as I am, I know what Ollie Watkins will pay for the international distribution.
Ollie Watkins will pay for the international distribution. Yeah, absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But yeah, as I say, that's the Laker Sports Man of Matches, Ollie Watkins. And no other player, I think, deserves it as much as he does tonight. Guys, we might come back to you again with another... Well, obviously, we've got a 2-week break with the international break. We're probably going to come back and reminisce on this with maybe a small bit more, I suppose, less alcohol-infused heads on this one and just kind of talk about maybe individual performances and so on. We'll string this one out, don't you worry. We've got the transfer deadline tomorrow as well, so I'm sure we'll be back tomorrow night with more news.
We'll be back tomorrow with our two new signings.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, with the help of God. But guys, everybody follow Paddy at Villa Paddy, follow the podcast here at Love McGrath Podcast, follow all the podcasts in the world. Jesus, look for Villa ones. There's some deadly ones out there. Ours is nice, everybody else is nice, and as I say, we're all one big massive community. And 7-2 Aston Villa versus Liverpool says it all, really. And all that's left to say is up to Villa.
with the greatest gusto since this podcast began. Up the Villa!
Podcast Network.